Loyal listeners, if you ever wanted to get an ad-free version of the show, make sure you head over to patreon.com/ndtex. You'll not only get an ad-free version of this show, but some bonus content in the form of national recap pods from Shane and I, as well as at least two, more often than not, bonus posts from yours truly. Again, that is patreon.com/ndtex. And I want to thank new Patreon members for the month, Jordan B. and John. Thank you, and thank everybody else for your continued support. Well, hello and welcome to another Picks podcast over here at Her Loyal Sons. I'm your host, Ryan Ritter. You can call me ND Tex. And as always, you can subscribe to the podcast over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Make sure to join us Thursday night over at twitch.tv/HerLoyalSons for some sim football action. Come join us in Discord at herloyalsons.com/discord. And of course, you can always find us at our home at HerLoyalSons.com. With that said, it's time to bring in Eddie. Eddie, how you doing, my friend?
Ryan, we have fixed the microphone. We've got the right shit recording. I'm coming off a fucking 10-2 week, baby. I couldn't be better.
Yeah,
how you living?
I'm all right. Like, you would think I'd be thrilled going 9-3 last week, but you managed to catch a game on me.
Much like Charlie Weiss's dish towel handouts taught me, 9-3 is not good enough, son.
Well, I think I still got that fucking thing somewhere around.
I think I do too, actually.
Oh man, I remember when those were the days where we're like, oh yeah, it's gonna turn around right here, baby. We got it. Let's go. Two VCS appearances. What could possibly go wrong?
Hey, shout out to Chuckles Jr., who almost had himself a hell of a comeback with USF last week.
Oh man, so much crazy. I love college football, but man, last week was a banger. And this week, oh my dear God, it is just stacked. We have the potential for all kinds of craziness and insanity. We have two top 10 games. Notre Dame is involved in one of them. We got a lot of teams in the top five, really, that got a chance to kind of prove that they belong there as well. So I'm not predicting a blood week, but man, I'm just saying I may have tossed a couple space bucks into a parlay that said there will be one.
Nobody can predict a blood week. We were close last week.
We were real close.
West Virginia doesn't choke it away. Like we had a couple that were almost there.
Rutgers, Oregon, I thought, had it.
Rutgers got close. Oregon let Arizona, a garbage Arizona team, get a little frisky. It was a weird week, but I don't know, man. I'm excited. I'm shamefully going to be at a wedding this weekend because there are folks who do not respect the holy sacrament that is college football season, but it will be a beautiful time.
The funniest part, it's mutuals.
it's two Notre Dame grads whom I love dearly, and I'm so excited to be there.
Yeah, you told me who it was. But
the phone,
I was like,
the
what?
Phone, the cell phone is gonna. I'm gonna have the extra charger case on because I think the cell may get a little extra usage this weekend.
So Eddie, I don't know where I saw it first, but there's a picture of like some dude acting like he's taking pictures on his cell phone of a wedding, and he's just sitting there staring at a fucking game. That's gonna be you, my friend, standing there in the back.
No, I would never. The one benefit to being as terribly short as I am, which is just a curse in all things, it's very easy for me to hide in a crowd. So, that's like,
true. There you go.
Your boy is mad stealth.
All right, well, we got a hell, and I'm not joking, folks. If you're like, where's this game? I had to make some executive decisions. There's some tough things to take care of here.
We're so missing a couple bangers.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it at 12, but I'm happy with the slate that we have. With that said, Eddie, we are right now, you, with the one-game lead at 32-20-1. Me, 31-21-1. Oh, baby.
Is it weird that being over 60% gets me just a little aroused?
Oh, no. Because you know what? I want to feel over 70%. We got to keep this shit rolling. Let's give them some winners, Eddie.
Yeah, here's the thing, kids. Either jump up, either right this week is either you bet every single one of these picks or you fade every goddamn one. Because it's going, it's only one way or another. Let's go, baby.
All right, we start on Friday night where we have our first potential weirdness with a top five team. And of course, that team's Iowa, baby. Top five, and they are going on the road Friday night to Maryland. I remember Maryland being in a position like this before. I want to say it was Penn State. I want to say they got waxed pretty bad. But this time around, Eddie, you got a different feeling.
You are correct. Three times in a row. Yes, it was Penn State. Yes, Maryland got waxed. And yes, I got a different feeling. It's time for a weird Friday night upset, baby. The Spaploos has this as a four-point win. For Turtle. The numbers on Maryland. Look. Iowa only beat Colorado State by 10. Colorado State is trash. Colorado State is so trash that they lost to Vanderbilt. If that doesn't give you pause, I don't know what will. They barely got by NIU. Okay, they did beat Iowa State, but a lot of shines come off that. A lot of shine off Indiana. Let's get weird, man. Give me the Terps. Turtle power.
Oh, baby. I'm so happy I'm not the only one right out of the gate going on this shit. I am on Maryland, too. This is part of my Blood Week parlay as well. Because we got to start weird. But there's a whole lot of things going on here. Not only has Iowa been suspect in some of the teams they've beaten, Maryland, they started the season by taking out West Virginia, a win that keeps looking better and better as time goes on. As he said, Iowa struggled against Colorado State. They then played Kent State. They had, obviously El Asico was a thing, but you got to remember how they won some of these games, right? Even when they started the season against Indiana, it was a lot of, please, take the ball and score on us. Iowa wasn't exactly doing a whole lot in their quote-unquote marquee wins. Maryland, on the other hand, has got some Tagovailoa turtle power. I'm excited to ride that horse. And not only that, Eddie, there is a very, very nice statistic. I don't know if you ran into it or not, but 69% of the money is on Maryland. And with the price that nice, how can we be wrong? Give me the Terps.
It'd be foolish not to. Pizza time.
All right. Well, coming up next is a team that Eddie foolishly picked for, yet somehow managed to still beat me in the week, and that's Michigan, as they come off barely limping their way in a Rutgers victory. They finally have to go on the road for the first fucking time this season. They have to go on the road, and they will face Wisconsin, who, after just a pantsing in the fourth quarter from the Irish, are a 1.5-point favorite. Total in this one is just a beautiful 43.5. We are peak Big Ten. Eddie, I could go with the hot hand here, or I could say fuck Michigan. They suck anytime they travel.
Which one is the hot hand here? The team that lost because they gave up a 31 fourth quarter, or the team that barely got by fucking Rutgers?
In the Big Ten, it's the 4-0 fucking team.
Touche. I just wanted to clarify.
You know, I mean,
neither one of these would classify as a hot hand by my definition.
You know what? That is completely fair. And look, This is the big noon game, so it's going to be back-to-back big noon kickoffs for Wisconsin. Here's the thing about Wisconsin. Like, we know Graham Mertz fucking sucks, right? I mean, that's the problem. But the other thing that really, really killed Wisconsin is they just couldn't run the ball against Notre Dame. And that would mean I would have to trust that the Michigan defense can do the same. After seeing what Rutgers managed to pull off, I don't have that kind of confidence anymore. So, Wisconsin can run the ball. Michigan offense is still fairly suspect because they haven't really played too many defenses with the pulse. We saw Wisconsin, very, very good defense. They can stop the run, and that's going to make Michigan quarterbacking win. And oh boy, if there's a quarterback duel that is just a full sicko platter, it's watching Michigan quarterbacks and Wisconsin quarterbacks. Hell yeah, Big Ten. Go ahead and give me the Badgers and a bounce back to this one. Who do you got, Eddie?
Interesting. I took a different tact from the game that we just saw. Wisconsin's offense fucking sucks. I think that Notre Dame's defense, and we'll get into this later, I think that Notre Dame's defense has leveled up considerably from where we were at the start of the game. But man, Wisconsin's offense looked horrible. Graham Mertz looked terrible. Obviously, the run defense is fantastic. But I think if push comes to shove, I trust Michigan's offense a little bit more than I do Wisconsin's. And I'm surprised that Wisconsin is favored here. What really pushes me over the edge? I get a hedge. I'm going to take Michigan here because one of two things happen. Either Michigan loses, and I don't care that I lost this pick, or I both get the pick point and I cash my Wisconsin season under 2 days into the month of October.
That's so a hell of a hedge.
Not a bad little hedge. I will take the trash ass University of Michigan.
All right, Michigan enthusiast Eddie McCarthy.
That's my bit. You don't get to take my bit, sir.
Not learned when it bites him in the ass. He's going again. Asking what the hot hand is, and then goes right back to Michigan. Come on. All right, moving on. We got, and this is still in the noon slate, and the 11 a.m. spot in God's
time
zone.
Wait. You're what? The one that said Michigan was the hot hand and then went against them. You can't use that.
Well, I just did. Anyways, moving on to ESPN, we got an SEC matchup of epic proportions. 4-0 Arkansas at 4-0 Georgia. Georgia, a massive 18.5-point favorite. Eddie, who you got?
Everything in the world. My entire being is telling me, be smart, take the dogs. 84% of the tickets, 74% of the money is on Arkansas. Arkansas is playing their first true road game in, what, 2 years? Because nobody had crowds last year, really.
Yeah, that's fair.
But you know what? I don't give a shit. Woo, pig suey. Give me all them points. Georgia's defense is incredible. The offense, they've put up points against bad team. But what I love about this Arkansas team, and I genuinely love this Arkansas team, they are gritty as hell. They are going to fucking play to the whistle, pass the whistle. They're here for a fight. They're going to drag you down into the mud, and I think just like we saw against A&M, they're going to make it a fight. And if you're in a fight, 3 touchdowns is a lot to cover. Now, Georgia is much better than A&M. They're much better than Arkansas. But I think at the end of the day, you're looking for a 3-touchdown spread. Sam Pittman's a Georgia guy. Like, Kirby's not going to run up the score on him. If this is, you know, kind of out of hand late, I don't see Kirby really trying to step on the throat, whereas you know that Arky's going to keep going all 60. So backdoor cover super in play here. This is a public ass side, and I feel bad about it, but there's no way I'm picking against Arkansas right now. So give me the Hogs.
Well, Eddie, I mean, I have loved watching Arkansas do work. But if there's something that's highly concerning, it's that I don't know what kind of condition KJ Jefferson's going to be in. And it's one thing we did see in that A&M game. Damn, when he was out, that offense looked like complete ass. And that
not
is
wrong.
Extremely worrying. So I believe that KJ will still try to play this game. I don't think he's going to be 100%. I do really love the Dogs defense. Eddie, I want to call the Hogs so bad. But unlike you, I am actually going to pick with my head in this one. This is one of the few games where I don't think we're going to have Blood Week Spectacular, mostly because the biggest weapon that Arkansas has might be limping. And with that defense coming at him, he might not be able to last the whole game. You're going to have to make a decision about the future of your team real quick in this one. So I will be rooting against this pick. I want to see the blood happen. I want Arkansas to win. I want to be wrong here. Of all the games that are on the slate, I just don't think that's going to happen. So go ahead and give me the Dogs. Sorry, I got to take the boring pit. I'm the guy that walked up to the craps table, Eddie, and went and bet on the don't pass line. I'm sorry.
I get it, but Pittman did say that he should be good to go. So I'm taking, maybe I'm taking too much on faith.
If there's anybody in this world that we should trust at their word and that there's no ulterior motives or bullshit lies, it's definitely head college football coaches. So I totally see
your logic.
All right, next up, we move to the Big 12. This game's going to be on ABC. Man, I told you this noon slate was banging. We got a little bit of Texas fight going on here. Texas, a 5-point favorite over TCU, the home team that damn near had a flag planted in their field.
Pony up, bitches.
But Texas comes in as a 5-point favorite. I will say I have been very pleasantly surprised with what Texas has done this season. If there is one thing they have been doing, it's been putting up points. Even in their loss to Arkansas, they still put up 21 points. It wasn't great, but they at least had a little bit of fight there. TCU, man, they're reeling. They're reeling something awful right now. They had SMU put up a billboard in fucking Fort Worth after the Skillet victory.
Back to back, bitches.
Telling Fort Worth to pony up. I mean, they are trolling the hell out of them. They will be out for blood. They typically always give Texas a hard-ass time. And it just seems to always happen, is that if there's a game that's going to end up tripping up Texas, it ends up being this one. But I just don't think it's going to happen. And here's the really concerning part, Eddie. You just talked about taking a real public side. But boy, the whole fucking world is on Texas. 94% of the bets, 85% of the money. I'm hedging right up there, walking right along with them. I'll be on that side because I just do not think TCU has it right now. This is not the same teams that have put scares into Texas. Let's be quite frank here. SMU is not as good a team in Texas. So have
fun,
buddy.
Pony up? Aren't they?
No. I'm sorry, Eddie, no. As much as I am Texas hating ass Aggie fan here, I got to know when there's a better team on the field. And look, right now, they also have to be seeing Big 12, OU starting to show. They got a few, they're limping right now. They're limping all the way into that Red River shootout, my friend. So they can't fuck it up. They got to go in, and they can't be looking past any game. So doors wide open. They got to kick it down, and it starts with taking out the Frogs. Who do you got?
You're right. TCU barely beat Cal. They lost to the Ponies coming off of a bye. They had a bye week to prepare for my law school lads, and they still got that ass whipped and that flag planted. And now they're going up against a Texas team that just dropped 70 points. I said it last week. Texas made the switch to Casey Thompson. Offense looked great. I don't think TCU's that good. But...
uh-oh.
Like you said, 95-90 on it. Texas just dropped 70. And this line is only 5? It opened at 3.5?
Ryan, this week it opened at 3.5. It was higher before.
Ryan, you know what that is?
That's not a cartoon stink line.
That's some cartoon stink lines, boy. It stinks. I'm going to hold my nose. I'm going to take the frogs. And Ryan, are you ready? It's time for a bear fact.
Rawr. Oh, we finally get a chance to get some honey. He's been late on these.
TCU. Their last 7 games against Texas, 6-7 against the spread.
Okay.
Texas, their last 10 games before the Red River Shootout, 5-5 straight up.
Oh, no.
2-8 against the number. Ribbit. Give me the frogs.
Oh, man. All right. I did not expect coming. So it's great. We took two opposite sides of two public ass bets. It's incredible.
Because we were inverting.
So I love how we say, go ahead and ride with us or completely fade us. And now we've gone out of the gate disagreeing on damn near everything.
Hey, let's, to be fair, the first couple weeks we were way too much in agreement. Last week, we had more disagreement than ever, and we went 9-3-10-2.
We kicked ass.
So, you know, a little fight keeps things spicy.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's move over to the West Coast as we go into the 3:30 hour, 2:30 if you're in God's time zone. We'll stick on ABC, where after Texas TCU happens, we'll have Oregon facing off against Stanford. Oregon, an 8-point favorite. Total is at 58. Who do you got, Eddie?
Fucking Stanford. Those sons of bitches are dead to me after blowing the cover against UCLA. I'm so mad. Oregon's clicking a little bit better. Yes, I realize that things did not go great against Arizona, but this line's way too low. This side's mad public, but... I don't know. I hate how much money is on Oregon right now because this line feels way too low, but not like stink line low. It's not like 5 or 4. It's still 8. Still more than the TD. Give me the Ducks, I guess. I don't know. I don't feel great about this one.
Give me Stanford.
Wow.
Blood week. Part
okay.
A.
Okay.
All right. So here's the thing about Stanford. And honestly, they've been doing it all season. When it's time for that, when you're like, okay, God, this team is so fucking bad. They just got pants. They're about to get fucking rolled. What do they come out and do? They come out and win a game by like balls insane amounts out of nowhere. This has every marking of Stanford fucking around and winning again and then dropping every single game the rest of the season because they just fucked up the entire Pac-12. This line honestly doesn't make that much sense to me. The side is super public as well. And honestly, that scare that Oregon had for that brief moment against Arizona of all fucking teams was, God. It was frightening.
You don't think that might wake them up a little bit?
Now you're going on the road to sleepy Palo Alto. I don't know if that wakes anybody
because,
up.
Because on the farm scares folks.
Oh, I don't think it scares people. Lulling them into a false sense of why am I here?
Okay. Champagne brunches get you down. All right.
Exactly. Silicon Valley bullshit. Somebody's going to be offering the Ducks some kind of NIL apps left and right. It's like, you think Phil Knight money's fun? Take a look at this shit. That's the kind of stuff you get over at Stanford.
Yeah, no, Phil Knight money is actual money as opposed to fucking fictional. I bet I bet every fucking Stanford, no Stanford player has an actual NIL deal. They have fucking NFT deals. They're all a bunch of fucking nerds who've never seen a boob. And they're just, yo, but check out this gift. It's just mine. Even though you could copy paste it. Oh, no. Fucking clowns.
Stanford's on the blockchain and they're covering y'all. Look. I mean, look, that is my whole thing here is that, look, obviously I've gone with the public and against the public. I'm going against the public here again. But some of this might have been from earlier lines, earlier action. One thing I've noticed is Action Network is actually tabulating a ton of preseason shit. So that might be coming into play in some of these. But this just screams that this, I really feel that this week could have some potential weirdness. Not that Stanford is like a guaranteed winner outright here. I could see them fucking around and giving Oregon a hard time. It's just, this reeks of Stanford's going to do weird bullshit. I can't explain it. I'm just going with my gut in this one. I'm probably dead wrong, but there we go. Next up, Rutgers is going to take on the other side of the game. And that is Ohio State, who is a 15.5-point favorite on the road. Total on this one is 58.5. This game's going to be on the Big Ten Network. Can't even get Ohio State on regular ass TV anymore. What happened? Like, I know it's...
It is the Sooge.
So, yeah, Rutgers, we just talked about it earlier, gave Michigan quite the scare, but they didn't pull it off. Meanwhile, Ohio State is just, man, I don't know what's going on with them. Now, they had a big win against Akron. They had a big win against Tulsa. They dropped Oregon. They looked really weird against Minnesota to open the season. They had a player fucking quit in the middle of the game tweeting, fuck Ohio State.
There's some... Ohio State, I believe, is what
Yeah, with the two C's. And then he said, good luck, Ohio State, afterwards, after he deleted his real feelings. I really don't know what to feel about this one. Not that I think Rutgers is a great team, but I think Ohio State's much better than what Michigan's rolling out there. I am very, very nervous about taking 15.5 points with Ohio State, and CJ Stroud is, he concerns me, man. He really concerns me. I hope getting a couple weeks against some patsy teams maybe helped his head get screwed on right. I'm looking for the letdown here for Rutgers. And there's way too many people on Rutgers, I will say that right now, to be betting against Ohio State. So I'm nervous, but... you know, this is on the Blood Week parlay. I didn't say I was going to take every pick on it, but I'm taking shots there. But when it comes to this, I'm saying, you know what? Logical picks, probably Ohio State's going to cover. So give me the Buckeyes. Who do you got, Eddie?
Yeah, CJ was out last week with the injury. He's supposed to be back this week, should be fully healthy. I mean, people were like, uh-oh, CJ Stroud's out. Is Akron going to get frisky?
No.
And the only story was a disgruntled fourth-year player who's never gotten playing time, and every coach apparently has said couldn't cut it, getting pissed off and quitting mid-game and firing off angry tweets. Rutgers did play out of their mind last week, but I think they fired everything they had, and they still couldn't get the job done.
They blew it, too. There's a big dead-to-me factor. Yeah. They should have finished the job.
They definitely should have. I think there's going to be a letdown from there. And at the end of the day, the talent on Ohio State is easily three scores better than the talent on Rutgers. So I'm on too many goddamn public-ass plays this week. I need to be with the house on some of these. So give me the Buckeyes, please. I will happily lay them.
Hey, we finally agreed at the beginning and end of the first half of this stuff. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Lane Kiffin looking for another upset. And oh my God, do we have a sicko game of all sicko games coming up next. Loyal listeners, if you ever wanted to get a deeper insight into the Notre Dame football program from somebody that lived it as both a player as well as in the inside of the athletic department,
we suggest picking up a copy of If These Walls Could Talk, Stories from Notre Dame Fighting Irish Sideline, Locker Room, and Press Box by none other than Reggie Brooks himself. Reggie will dive into everything from his time playing under Lou Holtz all the way up to the experiences of watching Brian Kelly lead today's Fighting Irish. And we are happy to extend a 25% offer off the book just by going to herloyalsons.com/book. Make sure you use the code WALLSND25, that's WALLSND25, when you make your order. Again, head over to herloyalsons.com/book, use the code WALLSND25, and enjoy a great addition to your Notre Dame football library.
All right, we are back, and you know what? We ain't gonna fuck around. We're gonna come out firing. 2:30 in God's time zone on CBS. Ole Miss, Alabama. Oh my God, the total, baby. It's 79.5. I am not lying, Eddie. When I saw it open the line, I've tried my best not to jump on too many lines Sunday and get all excited, but I knew this line, the total, was going only one way, so I jumped all over that over.
I was so I'll let you go ahead and tell the folks what the line is before I jump into my pick.
All right. Well, it is 79.5 is the total. It could be over 80 soon, so keep an eye on it. 14.5 is the spread. Eddie, who you got?
So Sunday night when you saw that, all I saw was 19.5 for Ole Miss. And I was just so excited to find that line. Yet my local did not have Sunday. My local's a little slow. Likes to take the weekend off. You know, worrying about the NFL a little bit. Monday morning, finally get some college lines up. It has dropped to where it is now at 14.5.
That sucks. I saw some similar shenanigans on Bovada. I'm like, get the fucking line up.
Yeah, I went ahead and snapped those up because I didn't know if it was going to keep diving. Kids, I called it in the preseason pod. I was going to be on the points. Goddamn, I'm going to be on the money line. Let's go, Kiffy Kins. He is fucking scientifically built in a lab to fuck with Nixon. We have seen in the Florida game that the Alabama defense is susceptible. Maybe more to the run game than the passing game. But look, Matt Corral and those boys know how to sling it up. And you know that no matter what, even if the game is over, Bama's up 21, there's 4 seconds left. You're telling me Kiffin's not fucking slanging it to get the backdoor cover just so that he can fucking text Nick and be like, hey, not good enough. Great team's cover. Thought y'all were great. Blah, 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 blah. Fuck it. Again, public ass side. Yep. but I equate that to the fact that the line opened at 19.5 and Vegas was just, they were high and everybody dove down. I think Ole Miss has the offensive firepower to put points up on Bama. We've seen Bama have issues on defense. Fuck it. This is going to be a fun-ass ball game. I'm very excited for this one. Give me the oldest Mississippi you've got, Ryan.
Oh, man. Look, I have had so much fun with Kiffy Kins this season. The man is not only grown in a lab to piss certain people off. He is so self-aware now. He was on some kind of recruiting trip or some shit to LA. He took a picture of the goddamn terminal he got fired in.
That was incredible. If you had gone back in time and told me that there would be a time where I ended up genuinely loving Lane Kiffin, I would never have believed you. But I genuinely love Lane Kiffin now.
It's incredible. Here's the problem, though, Eddie, besides the public side stuff. The teams Ole Miss have played, Louisville, Austin Peay, Tulane, not exactly a murderer's row.
What'd Tulane do to Oklahoma?
Oh, really? You want me to go ahead and going to Oklahoma hot takes right now because, oh, buddy, that team is...
I'm just saying. Everybody's vulnerable.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the other part of this. I want to believe. I really do. I'm going to be rooting my ass off for Kiffy Kids because God, if help me, if I ever want Alabama to win, I don't care if I'm betting them, if I got the fucking mortgage on them, I'd rather lose my house than have Alabama fucking win a game. Actually, well, that's a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah, I hope your wife does not listen to this for many reasons, but especially that one.
We'll see if that was loud enough to get through to the bedroom. What the hell did you... You're betting the mortgage on fucking football? Anyways.
You son of a bitch.
But I feel like we've seen this movie before, Eddie, where we predict the demise of Alabama because something happens, they get caught, and we're like, oh, baby, there's blood in the water. This is the season. This is where it's going to happen. And Nick Saban says, fuck you, and then just rolls people. This is going to be a very high-scoring affair. I am absolutely on the over, but I think we're going to be just short of a shootout because there is no way in hell Nick Saban didn't have this game fucking circled on his calendar after nearly getting his ass handed to him the first time around. And if you remember how that game went, Kiffin went toe-to-toe, and then finally, you know, there's only so many times you can stand toe-to-toe with a heavyweight as a middleweight, and once you take one too many punches to the head, you're just rocking, and that's eventually what happened to Ole Miss. I think a similar situation is going to happen here. I have no doubt Lane's going to be able to put points. He'll come in with a game plan, but Bama just is too good. They were able to get right, and look, everybody's got to win their clunkers. Even Alabama's got to have one here or there. And boy, did they ever just absolutely take it to a fucking patsy last week. That was a snuff film. That was some violence. That's a game where Alabama usually doesn't cover because they score a bunch in the first half and then just stop. But this time around, they're like, no, not stopping. You got to remember what this feels like because Lane Kiffin's coming to town. I want Kiffy Kids. I want him to win. I want it so bad. It'll be the most hilarious thing ever. Fucking PTI and Wilbon's dumb ass with Northwestern ass is going off that.
How's a McNeil grad? I don't know shit about college football. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, my God. That was awful. So, look, it's another one.
Do we know if Katy Perry is doing anything this weekend? Can we get her on the horn? Let's get her down to fucking Tuscaloosa.
If game day was in Tuscaloosa and they had Katy Perry picking again, maybe I would have different feelings and opinions. Look, I think Ole Miss's biggest problem is that Florida damn near got Alabama first. Ole Miss had to be the first one. I just don't trust Nick to get caught that often. They still got a very young quarterback who is only because he's got the tools. God damn, does he got the tools. And he's only going to get better. I know people are still like, ooh, Texas A&M. Oh, yeah. I don't care where that game's going to get played. I'm a little scared about that one. Anyways, unfortunately, Roll Tide. Zombie Bama's back. You gotta double tap him in the head. Florida didn't do it. And let's also not forget, Florida, you should have killed him when you had a chance, Florida. Make your fucking extra points, dipshits. For the love of God.
College kickers from downtown. Oh,
God. All right. We're going to move on. We're into the nighttime slate now. We're starting off with some Big 12 action. Some undefeated Big 12 action. We got Eddie's favorite team involved.
Big 12 title front running matchup.
Unbelievable.
Baylor, yeah. Okie State.
Okie State is at home, 3.5-point favorite. And just like every big time Big 12 matchup, it's a total in the fucking 40s. My, how things have changed. You bring some SEC ass shit into Baylor, and all of a sudden things change around this conference.
Yep.
Oh, God, this is easily the hardest game on the slate. I should have just left this off and picked
this. When I was looking at the slate, this is the one where I was like, I think we could have swapped this one out for a couple other ones. I genuinely think whether you meant to or subconsciously, you kept it in because Okie State was there and you wanted to fuck with me.
Oh, I absolutely did. And I had great reason because it was an undefeated fucking Big 12 matchup. I'm like, well, shit.
There is that too, I guess.
I was like, I actually have to put it in here. This kind of makes sense. I'm on the Bears. I like what they've been throwing together right now. I don't really trust Okie State. The thing that worries me is that Baylor's on the road for this one. They just had a, well, huge win against Iowa State, you know, quotation marks. And the other teams they played Texas State, Texas Southern, and Kansas. And then they finally got to play a team with a pulse in Iowa State. But still, that's everybody's darling. That's who everybody said was going to win the Big 12 this year, go to the playoffs. Not everybody, but some people that thought they were too smart for their own good. Oklahoma State. What?
Shots fired, Godfrey.
Hey, I'm just saying, he wasn't the only one doing it. Godfrey was not the only one doing it.
Touche.
And look, Okie State has faced some tougher teams. I don't know. I got a feeling Baylor's up to some shit. Now, if they won't run out in highlighter uniforms again, I reject this pick. Those uniforms were so atrocious that some highlights were on, and in passing, Mrs. Texas, what the hell are they wearing? Yeah, that's when you know you fucked up, Baylor. But anyways, I like the Bears in here. I think they're going to keep rolling. I like what they're throwing out here. And Okie State, there's always this moment with Okie State, Eddie, where it's like, oh, maybe this is their chance. It's going to happen. And that's the time when they fuck up. So here we go. This is their moment. Spotlight's on. Time to get pants. Who you got?
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to start. Is this is exactly when everyone's like, oh, shit, undefeated Okie State? Is this the year? And then they get got. I think Baylor has played better teams this year. I think they have beaten better teams in more impressive fashion. I do not understand why Oklahoma State is favored in this game. I will happily take the points here. Even Spaplus has Baylor winning this. And, you know, you and I joke about Spaplus all the time. And Notre Dame fans, God love Rakes. How Bill C has not blocked Rakes, I have no idea, because this has been a ongoing feud for like fucking
I think Rakes has actually had him on the podcast, though. I think that has helped.
You know what, he has actually. That's true, because for 9 years, yeah, because they had the fight about Golden Tate winning the Biletnikoff over whatever bullshit Mizzou receiver that Bill C was jerking off to that year. But you know, Notre Dame has never done well with Spaplus, but anytime Spaplus has like a more than 3-point differential from the spread, I'm usually going to ride with it. And I'll be perfectly honest, I don't know much about either one of these teams. And if I can bet against my nemesis, fuck them. Give me the Bears. Rawr, it's a bear. Rawr.
Yeah, and you're on the same side as me, so it's not like I fucked with you and then like, oh, well, Eddie, I know
exactly.
The
thing now. It's a safe space.
All right, well, we are facing now another spotlight game for another, I guess they're top five now or six. I forget where Penn State's actually ranked off the top of my head. But they are going to face the Hoosiers at home. Penn State favored by a paltry 13 points. This game's going to be at 6:30, your prime time ABC matchup. Oh, boy, this game sounded a lot better preseason. And I'll tell you what. The spread was very generous preseason. If you had taken that, Penn State would not have had to have covered as many points as they do now. Who do you have, Eddie?
I'm trying to pull up what Sunday's line was, because we have in our doc so Penn State opened as an 11-point favorite on Sunday.
Yeah, there were some books that still on Sunday had them at 6.5, and then other books opened. And that's when they immediately jumped back up.
They flipped them. Yes. Yeah. We're now up to 13. Either way, I think Vegas is low. I think that the betting numbers are where they are for that reason. I think they're off on this one. I don't think Indiana is any good this year. I hate saying it because they were a lot of fun last year. But they don't have the juice. And Penn State at home can be a scary proposition, and Lord knows I am never one to praise James Franklin I think my track record on him is pretty well established on this pod. But the thing I will give him credit for, he goes for the number. Like, if he's got a team down, he's not afraid to lay it on. So I'm going to take the Nits here.
So are you telling me, Eddie, that you're no longer having fun playing around with the Penix?
I'm not riding the Penix this weekend.
The Penix has run out of juice, just not as long and strong as it used to be anymore.
It's just there is no girth to the Penix this weekend.
God damn, like fucking like four hymns or one of the other million like fucking male enhancement. Like, there's business here, people. Shit, it's lined right up for you.
Commerce.
Oh God. Anyways, yeah, Eddie, I agree with you. As much as I really want to see Indiana pull a blood week, you know, true blood week. And look, if this game happens and some of the other shit before happens, yeah, you know, we're in a full ass blood week and some fun shit's going to happen for the rest of the season. But like Indiana, just, they don't have it. They just don't. And Penn State, they got the breather after the big Auburn game, so the letdown potential is very low. They could go ahead. It's like, all right, we got the nice out-of-conference win. We beat Wisconsin at the beginning of the season. So it's all good. Let's not worry about it. All good here. So I like Penn State here as well. I think a lot of people are it's a very public side, but, man, I want to bet with my heart. I really do. I wish more people were not in Indiana, and I think – a lot of the Penn State being the public side is a lot of, like we said, and that's why I actually kept that up there, was to remind me that there were some places that still had this at 6.5 for way too fucking long. And there were, I guarantee you, there are a lot of sharp people that make a lot more money than we do off this shit. They were like, thank you very much, and just ran with the money. So I'm not really trusting or being too concerned. I trust the numbers. I'm not too concerned about how lopsided they are. We'll be rooting against it, but oh my, Indiana. You gave us, like, right now, Indiana's best highlight is giving Cincinnati a little bit of a scare for a while. That's been about it. That's your highlight for the season.
We may get there later.
Oh no, I muted Eddie. What did I do? Sorry.
We good?
Yeah, we're good. Whatever you said went in.
That's fine.
God. All right. Yeah, I haven't slept much. I'm keeping this part in. I'm just marking it for my own reference so I can actually hear what you said about that joke.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the local, so you should be good.
All right. So, anyways, let's move on. Let's go back to the ACC. Oh, boy. Oh, good Lord. We're picking this game out of pure morbid curiosity. I mean, it's on the ACC network. But it'll be in prime time. There's a little bit of a breather here going on. This is our first sicko game that we're sitting here scratching our heads and thinking about for a little while. That's Boston College coming to visit Clemson, who is still a 16-point favorite, despite, I don't know, it felt like they haven't scored 16 points in four consecutive quarters yet this season.
Have they scored 16 points this year, Ryan?
It helped that they went to overtime last week. It's basically where you have there. I think you see where I'm leaning with this one. What the fuck? No. And this line has gone up somehow. Look, the whole world's on fucking Boston College right now. I don't care. I've watched this Clemson team play. They suck. Oh my God. I don't even know if it's a Clemsoning at this point. I think it's just inevitability. I can't believe a fucking Dave Doran coach team beat them. What the fuck? I gave you, like, you're dead to me now, Dabo. You motherfucker. I'm not too sweeting you, Eddie. I see what you're doing.
Too sweet
over
me, Ryan.
Oh my God. I'm Throw so bad about it. It busted up my fucking parlay. That
Throw it up.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyways, yeah, Clemson. Like I said, they probably haven't scored 16 points in four consecutive quarters. That is actually erroneous. They did do it once against South Carolina State. So let's put a lot of stock into that fucking game. Your totals, 3 against UGA. Georgia Tech, they scored 14. North Carolina State in fucking overtime. They scored 21. And you want me to lay 16 points on a team that actually just beat an SEC team? I don't give a fuck if it was Mizzou. They did it. They did it without their starting fucking quarterback. You find a way to win without Phil, I'll ride with you. I'll go ahead and give you every last one of those 16 points. Thank you for the gift. Thank you very much. Do not know what the fuck you're thinking, Vegas. If Clemson scores 20 in this, I will be shocked. And all that means is Boston College needs a fucking touchdown. There's going to be some quitting these boys after a while because DJ Uiagalelei looks like complete shit. That offensive line looks awful. Look, I really think Chaz Malusi, who we faced last week, saw what was coming at Clemson and got the fuck out of there.
Yeah, he looked at the O-line depth chart and was like, oh, no.
He's like, nope, see ya. I want to be a featured back. But he would have been a featured back at Clemson. Problem is the featured back's gaining, what, 2 fucking rushing yards?
Yeah, let me go get behind them corn-fed boys.
Oh, my God. Yeah, anyway, not taking Clemson. You got to earn it back because, holy shit, 2 weeks in a row, man. Fuck that. Who do you got, Eddie?
No, I'm with you. And the fact that the total in this game is 46.5 and you've got a spread of 16 is insane with Clemson's offense. There is no way I am trusting Clemson's offense to cover more than 2 touchdowns right now. Bruce Feldman had a great thing in his piece. I think it was earlier today. Last year, teams used 5+ DBs on 59% of Clemson snaps. This year, do you know what that number is, Ryan?
So you said it was, yes. 50, you said it was 59?
Last year, 59% of Clemson snaps, defenses had 5 DBs or more out on the field.
You know what? Based on the way that they've been having trouble on the outside and just straight up blocking, I would honestly be surprised if it's over 20%. So I'll go with 18.
Well, I think you flipped it in your own mind.
I did?
Snap this year.
Oh, wait. To have the DBs out. Oh, yeah, because now they're not scared of a rushing attack. So it'd probably be like, okay, I'm thinking opposite. They're like, oh, yeah, who the fuck cares?
Try again,
we'll just rush
try
everybody.
Again. Okay. We'll give you a freebie.
I haven't slept. I'm so
tired. It's a weird question. Try again.
No, it makes sense. So, like I said, flip that. So I'll say 80% of the snaps, they've gone full dime on their ass.
Hilariously low.
Wait, are we like talking 95% that they're...
Wait,
are we at a full 100%?
99% of snaps this year, defenses have run out 5+ DBs. And look, we're Notre Dame fans. I know we can't brag about rushing offense, but that's how fucking one-dimensional Clemson is right now.
We've actually been facing boxes. That's why we can't run.
Yeah. Their O-line is terrible. The running back room completely emptied out via graduation and transfer. As you said, Uiagalelei has been, frankly, bad this year. I'm genuinely surprised. I thought he was going to be fantastic. He's been shit. And now you factor in the injuries to the D-line. You lost a full season ACL tear. You lost 4 weeks for another. Stalski, who's in his 19th year of fucking eligibility, somehow got banged up last week. I'm sorry. This side is public as hell, and it scares me, but there's no fucking way I'm laying that many points with Clemson. Give me Boston College.
Can't fucking do it, man. All right. So that takes us to the sicko game of the night, of the week, of the year, of the fucking century.
This is one of the grossest games I can remember.
Oh, buddy, it's a night game, too. Eddie, I got my bathtub ready. Those candles didn't burn all the way down the last time. Clark Liam Vanderbilt's hosting UConn. Vanderbilt is a 14.5 point favorite in this bullshit game.
UConn money line.
Oh!
Look, Vanderbilt fucking sucks. There's no fucking chance in hell. Talk about not wanting to lay more than 2 touchdowns with Clemson. I'm sure shit not letting more than two touchdowns. This spread is 14 and a half. You think I'm going to lay more than two touchdowns with this Vanderbilt team? No, sir. I would take most Texas 6A high school football teams on that spread against this Vanderbilt team. Meanwhile, UConn, back-to-back covers. UConn's getting frisky. God. Give me the fucking Huskies. Easy. Easy.
So which cover was more impressive? The backdoor cover that Army allowed and the troops just
versus the troops.
Failed?
Easy. Versus troops. Easy. I'm not going to let you finish this bit. Versus troops.
That was Army had him. Army let him cover that one. That was some bullshit. They had him dead to rights.
Wyoming. Are you telling me that the United States Army let an opposing force have something they shouldn't, Ryan? Wow. Wow.
You know what? There's a lot of places I could go with that. I'm going to refrain. So, Wyoming, like, what the fuck? You favored Wyoming, okay? Like, yeah, Eddie's laughing because he knows I am not touching that shit with a 10-foot pole. This might be my last season, but even I don't know when to walk into the obvious mousetrap.
Just laying mousetraps all along the floor.
These motherfuckers, I'm talking about UConn, couldn't score against Purdue.
Weird way to talk about the troops, right? Oh,
Jesus Christ, Eddie. UConn cannot score against Purdue. The most points they've scored all season was against Holy Cross, where they lost. Look, I know Vandy's offense. I get it, Eddie. Vandy's offense is dog shit. But so is whatever UConn's running out there for a defense. Oh, my dear God. 38, 49, 52. God bless Wyoming, 24. Look, this is the time. If Clark Lee can't do this, man, I'm gonna have to like block him from Instagram. I'm gonna have to like unlike every photo I ever liked. I'll probably accidentally like an 8-month-old photo by accident while trying to cleanse my timeline. This is the time, Eddie. It's the time our boy gets it done on a fucking hapless UConn team, because they might only need to score 14 points this one. Yes, so bad.
They might only need to score 14 points on a 14.5 point spread.
You know what?
That sums up the Vanderbilt offensive strategy in a goddamn nutshell.
Buy it down! Oh, man. Yeah, look. UConn's just that bad. Vandy's at home, baby.
thrilling home crowd in Nashville, Tennessee.
Look,
Vanderbilt Stadium.
You never know when, like, a bachelorette party will wander in and just completely change how that entire crowd looks, because it might be the entire crowd that's there. Oh, Clark, what did you do? But yeah, I gotta say, I can't with UConn. I get where you're coming from, Andy. You can't with Vandy. I can't with UConn. So this might be the last time I ever get frisky with Vandy ever again. But oh boy. This game is going to be fucking... You know what I am?
Extreme narrator voice. It will not be the last time he gets frisky with Eddie.
But you know what I am getting frisky with, Eddie? That under, baby.
Yeah.
51 and a half? You give me 50 points in this game? Oh, bless
you. Yeah, you want a mortgage bet. That's the one.
there might be a hedge that I placed on the under, which worked out great for me last time when I did this. So... go ahead and bet the over, folks. There's your winner right there. Okay.
That is the most confident I've felt about a bet all season.
Now we get to your main event of the afternoon, wedging itself nicely in between your noon slate and 2:30 slate. 1:30 in God's time zone on NBC, hopefully for me. I might have to go to Peacock if YouTube TV keeps dicking around with NBC. Well, actually, other way around. If NBC keeps dicking around with YouTube TV, YouTube could give me a $10 discount and say, hey, go ahead. Go fuck off to Peacock. They're being stupid. So kudos to you, Google, for telling them to go fuck themselves. Anyways, I may not get to see this game in glorious 4K, but I will manage to see it, even if it's on a fucking telephone wire delay through Peacock. Notre Dame and Cincinnati, your second top 10 matchup of the week. Cincinnati, a 2-point favorite against the Irish. Total in this one holding steady at 50.5. Okay, so unlike last week where I was like, I gotta look for how is Wisconsin favored? I don't get it. I get this. I get why Cincinnati is favored. The reason why is Notre Dame's offense, a little bit questionable. Not just with the rushing attack. It's who's going to be throwing the football for one? Because we have no idea how Jack Cohn is feeling. And as we talked about, very trusting and reliable head coaches. If there's anybody you could trust about injury status, it's 100% Brian Kelly, who's absolutely led us in the right direction all fucking season long. Been great setting sim rosters where I start people that don't even, they're not even on the fucking plane.
Sebo's probably fine by now, right?
Hey, he did say he's available. So, four game, magically available on game number 5. Weird how that happens. So we've only seen...
You puff the first depth chart away, you puff the second depth chart away, and you pass the third one away, and then he's on the fourth one, right? isn't that how that works? Allegedly?
Allegedly? Four game suspensions. Anyways... look, I get why Cincinnati is favored in this one. It does make sense because of Notre Dame's offensive woes. However, if there's one thing I got confidence in, good Lord, it's that defense. They have figured some things out, and we got the guy that knows where the bodies are buried. If there's anybody that knows Ritter well, and I'm talking about R-I-D-D-R, not me, R-I-T-T-E-R. I'm not talking about the superior Ritter. I'm talking about the inferior Ritter. Mr. Dumb Shit, don't say anything about the Notre Dame crowd, you moron. That crowd will be quiet.
He's not wrong.
But he fucked up. Now,
the crowd's now, actually yeah, no, he motivation. Definitely fucked up. You he definitely fucked up.
Dumbass. You don't do that. Motherfucker, I watched you play at Indiana. You dipshits nearly dropped that game. Your line was false starting against that raucous Indiana crowd. And I'm not like saying Indiana's like a fucking quiet cricket place. But look, it's not a tough place. Like if you're
It ain't basketball season.
Exactly. It's not one of the toughest places to play. Neither's Notre Dame. So you're going to say, yeah, I'm going to shut the crowd up. Motherfucker, show me on your chart where you've shut the fucking opposing crowd up. You've been on the road once all goddamn season, and you fucked around an entire half against Indiana. And thankfully, there's a little bit of a Penix problem over there, and you were able to go ahead and swoop in and finish the job.
He swore that never happened.
Look, this is your first road game against a team with a goddamn pulse. Not just a pulse, a team that's out for blood. It's the first time you face a defense that's fully functional. You're going to face a defense that knows you way too well, knows your tendencies. You don't think Marcus Freeman was sitting there trying to figure things out towards the end, knowing the suitors that were coming after him, sitting here figure out that's exactly what he was going to do. And when Notre Dame came calling, he took a look at that schedule. He didn't have a few thoughts. Oh, buddy. I am fully confident in this defense, especially with the locker room material. That's going to help a lot. I am really terrified of what the offense is going to be able to do. I will upfront say that right now. It scares me that I'm not sure if Cone's going to be healthy. Drew Pine, God bless him. He did great. I am worried that a defense like Cincinnati could chew him up because he just doesn't, as inaccurate as Cone is, there's one thing I will say for him. Majority of the time, he puts that ball where other people can't catch it. And he puts it with enough zip where people ain't going to jump around on him. Don't know if Pine can do that. I didn't see that same zip on his passes. It concerns me. What I'm really hoping for, Eddie, is Tyler Buckner's leg has some kind of cyborg biotic implantment. Because this is the time. He's got it. We need it. This is a good defense. This is an attacking defense. You're going to have to do something to throw him off the scent. And that answers Buckner. So please be healthy, Tyler. Let's do it. Notre Dame hasn't lost at home for a very, very long time. And Eddie, do you remember what happened the last time a top 10 team walked into Notre Dame Stadium undefeated?
Ryan, I believe that Notre Dame beat that ass.
Notre Dame won that game, took out number one Clemson, Give me the Irish to keep it going. It's gonna be butt clenching time. It's gonna be close. I'm not thinking. Look, that fourth quarter, as fun as it was, thank you very much, Wisconsin, for the entertainment and the fun. I'm not expecting that to happen again. Mertz and Ritter are two totally different quarterbacks. But I got faith in you, Freeman. I'm trusting you on this one. I think Notre Dame will be able to get just enough points to squeak the sucker out outright. Who do you got, Eddie?
My focus is, I guess I started with the Cincy D versus the Irish Hornets, because I think that's where the scary stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
And goodness gracious, I looked everywhere. I was hoping that somebody was like, hey, here's where havoc rates are at, because that's a stat that people know about now and are wanting to look at, and fuck if I could find it. So I couldn't find it, and I sure as shit wasn't going to do math. I mean, Christ, I went to law school to avoid numbers, so I'm not going to do that much research, kids. Come on. But what I did see is Cincinnati has played three games. You know, they had the game against Indy, but, you know, some subpar opponents. Aside from that, they only have 4 sacks this year. I realize Notre Dame's offensive line is bad, but Cincinnati should have way more sacks than that to put a real fear into Notre Dame's heart. It's not at the level of Wisconsin's D-line. It's not at the level of Wisconsin's front seven. Notre Dame currently tied for the lead in interceptions on the year.
Thank you, Mertz.
I mean, Graham, I caught the... So I looked at the end of the sim after you had tweeted about how bonkers it was, and it was hilarious, the juxtaposition of sim Notre Dame throwing 2 pick sixes at the end of the game.
It was perfect. To
real world Wisconsin throwing 2 pick sixes at the end of the game. I thought it was very funny.
Look, sometimes that poor computer gets confused. It's old technology, man. You can only expect so much from AI made in 2015.
True. You know, I like Luke Fickell a lot as a coach. I think he is smart enough to avoid Kyle Hamilton, who already has 3 picks on the year. But look, the defense as a whole has 9. And like you said, Marcus Freeman spent the last year and a half going up against Desmond Ritter in practice. He knows everything that Desmond Ritter can do. We've already seen Ritter throw a pick against Indiana. Shit, he threw a pick against Miami of Ohio. Our secondary is way better than Miami of Ohio's. Cincinnati needed a late rally against Indiana. They had a 15-0 fourth quarter that was helped out by a couple of questionable calls, some might say. But it was very close. And even, I brought it up before, Spapluse hates Notre Dame. It has hated Notre Dame for years.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to bring up the Spapluse margin.
Even Spapluse has us winning this game by 1/10 of a point. Now, listener, you may be wondering, what the fuck does that mean? I'll tell you. Baby. I don't fucking know. But I know it means our number was higher than their number. So they can fuck off. And Ryan, to close it out, I've got one more bear fat. Rawr. Do you know what Notre Dame's record the last 5 times they have been a home dog is?
Wow. It's been a while since we've been. So they definitely...
Clemson,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, they beat Clemson. They probably were underrated against like a Stanford or a USC. I'm going to say 4-1. I think the only one they may have lost is against Georgia.
Is that against the spread? 4-1?
Oh, against the spread? I thought you meant straight up.
Either one.
I was going
because it's the same either way. 5-0.
Oh, okay. Baby. So you have to go back real far.
Yeah. Give me the fucking Irish. I've got Ryan to tell you how serious I am about this. And I think you, as a man of culture, and a man of exquisite passion will appreciate this.
I'm really scared of what's going to come out of your mouth next.
I have a stake bet.
Oh, on this game.
That and straight up, that is the level of confidence I'm coming to you with.
That the stake bet is a very, very serious thing, because I know about any stake bets, and these bets are, this ain't no Outback bet, y'all.
No. We are going to classy establishments.
Yes, exactly. Oh, man. Well, Eddie, I hope you enjoy the juiciest of all steaks. Just big old tomahawk. Size of your face. It's going to taste so good. Victory going to taste so sweet. See if you can get the MF initial in there, because not only are we badass motherfuckers, but Marcus Freeman helped pay for that dinner.
Love it. Love it. Kids. Ooh, baby. We got a weekend coming. I don't know how these numbers are going to go. Ryan, we've got one.
We've got a lot of
three,
differing opinions.
Four, five. We've got a six fight in a 12-pack. Last week, I think, was our biggest one, and it was only four.
It was four.
Or, no, it was five. It was five, wasn't it? Because we would have had two and three.
Let me go back to the record book. Let's go.
Yeah, no,
four.
It was
one, two, three, four, and five.
Yeah, so we got a six pack fight. We got a 12. We got a 12 case for you.
We're all gonna be drunk,
baby. this is what college football is made for. So cuddle up, huddle up. It's October. It's fall. Get your pumpkin beers if that's what you're into. Not particularly my jam, but all sorts of fall seasonals out there. Cuddle on up. Make yourself some chili. No goddamn beans.
Amen.
This is America. Have yourself a time. Enjoy yourself. This glorious college football. And kids, as always, go Irish. Hail Gambler.
All right, that is going to wrap it up for us. Thank you, everybody, for joining the show. Make sure you subscribe over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Make sure to join us for The Sim Thursday night around 9 p.m. Central, twitch.tv/HerLoyalSons, HerLoyalSons.com/Discord, and of course, you can always find us at our home at HerLoyalSons.com. Until next time, y'all, go Irish, beat Bearcats, have a good one.